January the 1st, 1996. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Pooh. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been ill for quite some time, and I want to begin by thanking Mr. Gary Bourgeois, my good friend, and Mr. Frank Marzullo, Swiss and Earth Trading, for sitting in for me and making sure that the Hour of the Time continued to be aired during my illness. I'm still quite a bit under the weather, but much better than I have been. I have to tell you, this is the longest period of illness that I have ever experienced in my life. I'm not used to this. I don't like it. It is totally against my nature to be down and helpless, so to speak. So it has given me quite an occasion and an awful lot of time to reflect and to think and to gather my thoughts and to put the new year into some kind of what I believe to be a perspective that maybe we should all look at. And during this broadcast tonight, I'm going to try to impart to you some of the thoughts and feelings that I have been experiencing over the last 2 or 3 weeks pertaining specifically to this year, 1996, and what it might possibly entail for those of us who love liberty so much. So please, as always, get a pad and pen or pencil and get ready for an hour of, I won't say projections are well, let's just say an hour of heart-to-heart talk. I think it needs to be done. I'm going to say some things that I think need to be said, and I hope you're all in a mood to reflect upon what I'm going to tell you over this next 46 minutes or 56 minutes.
Oh, God bless America, land that I and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, through the ocean, white with foam.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know about all of you, but I certainly hope that God does bless America. And in fact, that's the most important thing in my heart and mind right now. As I know that we're 1 year closer to the target date of those who wish to plunge the world back into enslavement with their new world, one world, totalitarian socialist regime. Hope you will all bear with me tonight because my voice is not normal as it should be, and if I speak for this whole hour, it probably won't exist tomorrow, and you'll know if you hear a rerun tomorrow night that that has happened. I have been engaged in a battle, a great battle, for many years. In fact, I was fighting this battle with a handful of other great American patriots long before most of you even knew that we were engaged in a war. And I learned about this war many years ago, quite by accident, because I checked something that I shouldn't have checked on a piece of paper when applying for a security clearance, and found myself in the Office of Naval Intelligence looking at things that I never would have seen had I not made that mistake. In one way, I'm very disappointed that I did that and that it happened, because it has turned my life upside down. It has caused me and my family many years of pain and suffering, but it has also given me an opportunity that might not have existed with anyone else, in that I had a glimpse into the future, and I had many years in which to research that glimpse and discover what was in store for all of us, and to be able to search out and document what it was that I had discovered and relay it to the American people. And in doing this, I have been able to prove to all of you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that one man or one woman can indeed make a great difference. That we can do and accomplish whatever it is that we set our minds to do and to accomplish. If anyone had told me as little as 15 years ago that I would write a book that would be an underground bestseller with no advertising whatsoever for over 4 years in a row, I would have laughed. If anyone had told me that I would be talking to 10 million people 5 nights each week, I would have rolled on the ground with mirth. If anyone had informed me that I would have assembled and would direct the largest and most successful civilian intelligence gathering organization in the world, I would have thought that they had lost their mind. But I have done exactly these things, ladies and gentlemen. I have done them because, very simply, I had no other choice. It would have been much easier for me to do many other things, most of which would have brought us much more material wealth, possessions, happiness, whatever you want to call it. I could have scratched the itch that has always led me in creative directions rather than the direction in which I have traveled. And I am no different from any of you who are out there listening, and I want to make that point perfectly clear. My brain is no larger. I'm no more intelligent. I have no more capabilities than any or all of you. I am just a man. A very simple man who loves people and children and my family. I love liberty. I love the history of this great nation and what our forefathers were able to leave for us. whom they called their posterity. So much that I have gone out of my way to accomplish the things that I have accomplished, against all odds and against all of those who have laughed and scorned and said that it could not be done. And in so doing, I've cast aside any excuse that anyone might have or might wish to present, that they are just one lonely, helpless person and there's really nothing that they can do. It is a lie. And I'm living proof that it is a lie. And there's nothing glorious in this. I'm not seeking any kind of congratulations or fame because it's not fun. And with fame comes all the flakes and the idiots and the hate mail and the ridiculous faxes and the stupidity of people. So if you really believe that this is something that has been enjoyable for me or for my family, you can put that aside. It's been hard work, damn hard work. And it's been work that no one in their right mind would seek to do, except that the odds are so great against us if this work is not done. And I have to bring this home to you, ladies and gentlemen, because later on in this broadcast, I'm going to ask that you all begin to do the same things that I have done on your local community level. If you don't feel like writing a book that's going to be an underground bestseller for 4 years, you can write a newsletter that can be the subject of conversation around every dinner table in your community or in your county or in your city. These are the things that I'm talking about. 1996 is going to be a pivotal year. I see information that none of you will never see, can never see, have no means of access to this information. Information comes in here by the ton each week. And I go through each and every single letter and every piece of information, every station chief report, every bit of intelligence that's relayed through the intelligence service into my hands. And I can tell you that an awful lot of it is absolute, total bullshit, disinformation designed to confuse us and distract us from the real truth. And so we are always assembling two puzzles here. One is the deception, which we must know in order to be able to deal with it. And the other one is the truth. The truth. The truth is the only thing that we can travel into the future with. It is the only thing that can lead us in the right direction. It is the only way that we can live our lives if we want the future to be something that we can be satisfied with, that we can live with. And in the middle there's a box. Anything that will not fit into one or the other of those puzzles goes into that box, and some of the things that are in that box will never come out of it. Others will eventually fit into one or the other of the two puzzles, which are constantly in the state of being assembled. Neither of these two puzzles will ever be finished. The truth is elusive at best, and the truth sometimes changes over time. The truth can change when circumstances change. The truth can change when the consciousness of the whole of the people makes a change. And this sometimes happens, ladies and gentlemen. The deception is always changing, and sometimes there are a great many deceptions being run concurrently to make sure that people continue to chase their tails and ignore what they should really be concerned with in this life. I can assure you that based upon my experience over the years, that most Americans are not going to wake up until it is too late. Until the deception and the treason and the lies and the hurt are so out in the open that it becomes a part of their face, in their face, hurting them personally and their families. And that was one of the reasons I made the decision not to address the whole of the people and attempt to continue to awaken the sheeple. It's one of the most difficult jobs that I've ever undertaken. And I'm extremely thankful that I have been able to awaken those of you who listen to this broadcast regularly, and many more have never heard this broadcast, but who have read my book or attended my lectures, or in some way have touched a part of their life and brought them out of the fantasy and into the real world. So it is to those of you who are awakened that I speak tonight. All of you that are engaged in political activities of one sort or another, I'm going to start with this because it's important, because this is a political year. This is a presidential election year, and we are already into that year, which began on November the 4th. I know that many of you have great hopes of electing some president that's going to turn things around. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to dash your hopes against the wall and shatter them into a million pieces right now, because you are fooling yourselves. You are fooling yourselves. A good friend of mine, a man that I consider to be a great man, started a party not too long ago called the Constitution Party, which was based upon what all of these people pretend it is that they really want. Real liberty based upon a platform which is the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. I was heavily involved in many other projects, including this radio broadcast, and you have no idea what it takes to present an hour of information 5 nights each week, every week, always, without fail. And to operate a vast intelligence network that stretches not only across this country but around the world, to write and to publish a newspaper, and the many other things that I am involved with. Aaron Russo, when he began this party, called me and wanted me to be a part of it because he knew that I love liberty and that I have always been a great defender of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And so I consented. And it wasn't long before I found myself the president of the party. And then when Aaron found himself so engrossed in new projects in Hollywood and his new television broadcast, which will begin in just a few days, as a matter of fact, you will see it on one of the networks, I'm not sure which, in just a few days. He turned the entire party over to me, and I became the chairman of the party. Karen Scarborough, who had been the membership director, became the acting president because she could not serve as the president because of a felony conviction that she had in her past, according to the bylaws of the party. And we had state coordinators spread out across this nation. And we were, for a time, the fastest growing third political party in the country, totally ignored by the mainstream press, but growing faster than any third party had ever grown in the history of this nation. And yes, that includes the Libertarian Party and all the others that have ever existed. And then something happened, ladies and gentlemen. We became a threat. And the state coordinator of Colorado, a volunteer state coordinator, I might add, named Sharon Ford, somehow convinced Karen Scarborough that they needed to wrest the party away and began to lie to the members of the Constitution Party, telling them that they had already rented a space for a convention and that they were going to have over 5,000 members and that they had reserved 5,000 hotel rooms and that Freedom Bound was going to give them so many thousands of acres of land, all against the law and all lies, I might add. And there became a struggle in which they were ousted from the party, finally. I made many appeals over the airways and in private mail and to those whom I knew had been founders of the party and whom I believed cared about it, to come together as a board of directors and become officers of the Constitution Party. I could not find one single person in this entire country who could or would take any of the positions. The Secretary of the Constitution Party in the state of California began to try to help, and then we found that he was serving as an officer in another third party, which is insanity. You cannot serve two or three or four masters. And so he was dropped by the wayside. During this time, and while the party was building strength and gaining membership, I attended meetings in Kansas City for a coalition of the Constitutionist Networking Center, and we came together with various third parties and organizations, most of whom turned out to be liars. They had no intention of helping out, just came to the meetings and participated in debate and argument and everything else, but when all was said and done, it was all over with. They had no intentions from the beginning of ever coming together in any kind of coalition. And I was the only one there, ladies and gentlemen, who kept it on a strictly constitutional track. That it kept going off in a socialist bents. But nevertheless, we got through and we created an organization called CURE. And all of these people professed that they wanted a president and vice president to be elected running on a platform which would be the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. And at one point during this meeting of all of these different people, many of whom are household names in patriot homes, I realized that there was an awful lot of hypocrisy going on there, a lot of double talk, and a lot of downright bullshit, if you will. And at one point I stood up and I said, none of you are serious here. None of you are really serious. You don't really mean what you say. If you did, you wouldn't be going off on these unconstitutional socialist bents. You would stick to the agenda, which is to restore the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to their rightful place as the supreme law of the land. And I can tell you how I know. You all want us to join your little organizations and you want us to come together and affect this coalition called CURE, but most of you don't belong to any organizations. And it was the truth. Some of the greatest leaders there are not affiliated with anyone or anything. They call themselves non-joiners. Yet they profess that they wanted to make this possible, to make it happen. And I brought to their attention that it would never happen. Because there I was, representing the only party in the United States of America that had legitimately, realistically, and in actuality, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as the platform of the party, guaranteeing liberty to all people, no matter who they were. And these people were not members of that party. It was as simple as that. If that is what you really want, you would have joined this party. And you did not, and that's what I told them to their face. They didn't like that. but that's what I told them. And when it came to debate about how we would restore the monetary system and the economy of the nation, guess what won out over everything else? The return of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's public works projects, which were what originally plunged this country into socialism to begin with. And these were proposed by another household name that you would all recognize in 10 seconds flat, and supported by everyone there who pretended to be against these socialist programs and for liberty with responsibility under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I was the only one who opposed it. I was the only one there who demanded that we stick to the agenda of restoring the nation to a proper constitutional and legal monetary system as outlined in the Constitution and in the law. Now, I'm going to set it to you straight, ladies and gentlemen. If most of the people in the country would not support the Constitution Party, and if those who were pledged to restoring this nation to constitutional rule, to liberty, to the founding principles and ideals upon which this country was based, would not support the Constitution Party, then this country is not going to go back to the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. And I'm setting you straight with that right now. And when I realized that, I began to talk to you on this broadcast and tell you that things are not going to go back the way they ever used to be. There's going to be change, great change. A lot of that great change is going to come to pass this year. A lot of it in little bits and pieces have already come to pass over the last 10 to 20 years.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for purple mountain majesties. Oh,
once again, I'm doing something tonight that is going to make me an awful lot of enemies, and it's going to once again cut those people out there into camps that understand what I'm talking about and those who will hate me for saying it. Nevertheless, as I have always done, what needs to be said will be said. You can forget forever about going back to the Constitution in its pure form and to the Bill of Rights in its pure form. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. We can influence the future and we can affect the outcome to where we can preserve liberty in some form, ladies and gentlemen, but it's never going to be the way that it ever was. If you think by joining CURE you're going to elect a constitutionist president and vice president of the White House, you're dreaming. Because if people were really interested in that, they would have flocked to the Constitution Party, and they did not do that. And they're not flocking to CURE now. CURE is the Constitutionally Unified Republic for Everyone organization, which was the coalition that we put together in Kansas City. If you believe that you're going to elect Charles Collins to the White House, you are once again dreaming. And you can rant and rave and jump up and down and beat on the wall, but you know in your heart I'm telling you the truth. The vast herds of sheeple will not support Charles Collins because they've been propagandized into believing that what he presents as a platform is lunatic. And you all know that. If you believe that Perot is going to put forth a candidate that's going to win, again, you're dreaming. If you have the slightest idea in your mind that Pat Buchanan is going to be your president and represent you and restore the Constitution, you are so far out in left field that you're not even living on this planet. For he is not one of us, never has been. The patriot vote, which by and large is a conservative vote, is so fractured at this present time that Bill Clinton has no opposition whatsoever. If you think Bob Dole can defeat Bill Clinton, again, you are dreaming. And with a conservative vote so fractured with so many different candidates, all inflaming the emotions of their followers, that no conservative candidate has a chance at this juncture. But there is one that if there were a chance, I would give him that chance, the only chance, and that's Alan Keyes. And up until yesterday, I didn't even know that the man was black. But I've been reading his material and his speeches for an awful long time. He's the only one that has a base of public support and a platform that could win. And I'm sorry to say that a great percentage of patriots would not vote for him simply because he is black. So you can forget about Alan Keyes. Bill Clinton has the 96th election in the bag. And the only thing that can change that is if he is indicted with good evidence that can convict or impeach him for any crime that he could be indicted for. And I don't believe that's going to happen. You see, if they got away with the Vince Foster murder, it's not going to happen. There's only one other thing that can destroy Bill Clinton's chances, and that is if we experience a large number of casualties between now and the election in Bosnia. And from the looks of things, we may suffer some casualties, but nowhere near the amount that would be needed to unseat Bill Clinton from the presidency. the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that the world is in a stage of change. And I'm going to tell you something about patriots and about militias that you're not going to like. Patriots, for the most part, are not dealing in reality. They're not looking at the real world. They're not playing with a full deck of cards. In most instances, they're doing nothing but stroking their own egos until such time as they're challenged, and then they'll jump over the fence and behave like good little boys and girls. And I've watched it happen over and over and over again. Those of you indulging yourselves in these common law courts and common law grand juries, you are on Mr. Toad's ride in fantasy land. And they may let you get away with playing your little game for a short period of time, but when they get tired of it, you can rest assured that they're going to unseat you from your horse and pound you into the dust if you present any real political challenge. And that is a fact. You have no one with the strength or the determination to enforce your rulings or your indictments or your judgments. And until you do, you are playing a fool's game. When the Articles of Confederation were replaced with the Constitution for the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, common law courts ceased to exist, and so did common law grand juries and everything else that went with it. I've tried to tell you this over and over again on this broadcast, but you don't seem to want to listen. And the answer is not the War Powers Act, as Dr. Green Jean Schroeder is attempting to convince you. I know Gene Schroeder. I like him, I admire him, I respect him. The research that he's done has been wonderful, except he doesn't carry it far enough. You see, that's been replaced by many different other acts. It's been amended, it's been added on to, and that's not the secret anyway. The secret is the treaties. It is the United Nations. It is the dream for world government. And you can play at this War Powers Act thing all you want to. That is not the answer, ladies and gentlemen. It never was. You see, because they don't care anymore, they don't listen. They are going to have their world government, and the best that we can ever hope for is to have a great effect upon the outcome of what that is going to be. You're not going to stop it, and I'm not going to stop it. We can rail against it all we want to. There's going to be some form of centralized world government established within the next 15 years. I guarantee it. And there may be civil war. There may be militias formed that will fight this and fight a guerrilla war forever and ever and ever to try to stop it. It will happen. You see, I have never been, and I have told you over and over again on this broadcast, I have never been, and the Second Continental of the Army of the Republic has never been opposed to world government. It is the natural progression of things that will have to happen on this earth, because at some point in the future, we're all going to have to come together and live peacefully. Now, by peacefully, I don't mean that nobody's ever going to mug you, or nobody's ever going to steal from you, or nobody's ever going to get up some gang and start some little war somewhere, because that's totally against human nature. there's not going to be a world utopia, but there can be a safer, saner world. I have urged you to form and join militias and refuse to give up your right to keep and bear arms, because that is the only way that we can guarantee that no one can totally enslave us. And I can guarantee you right now that that's what is planned with the world order that they have planned at the present time. And if they can't take the guns away from the American people, and if they can't put down militia movements, if they can't stop us from having an effect and a political influence upon what happens in this country and in the world, then they cannot enslave us. And that's the big message that I've been trying to get across to you all. First was to wake people up and get them to study and stop listening and believing and understand what was happening and what is coming. And then refuse to give up liberty. See, I do not believe that a world government has to exist upon the bones of the liberty of the people of the world. In fact, I refuse to believe it. I refuse to give up my weapons, and I refuse to give up my liberty. I will have an influence. I have already had an influence. Out of all of the radio talk show hosts in the entire world, when Bill Clinton was railing against the militias and against the Patriot movement, and against radio talk show hosts, my name was the only name printed by name in the White House staff memo, which Rush Limbaugh read on the air. So I know that I have not only had an influence, but I have had the greatest influence of everyone out here who has been opposing what has been coming and trying to influence it in a way that we can have a future that we can live with and live within. And instead of going backwards into the bonds of slavery out of which man has spent the entire history of this world escaping, he can keep the ultimate achievement of mankind, which is personal liberty with responsibility, with the right of every human being to keep and bear arms to guarantee that liberty. When you have the amount of intelligence and information coming into your possession that I have on a daily basis, you understand that these terrorist groups don't just spring up around the world. People don't just go and blow up a federal building in Oklahoma City. What happened in Waco, Texas was no accident. These are all part a vast organization of men called the Brotherhood. The Illuminati, if you will. Who believe that by engineering the events that happen on a daily basis in this country and all around the world, they can cause the people to be influenced to accept the enslavement in the kind of new world order, world government, that they want to inflict upon the world. You're going to see draconian measures start to come into existence during this next year. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I've said it before, the presidential election in 1996 will be the last free election ever held in the United States of America. You can let that sink in a little bit if you wish. Unless we have a tremendous influence, there will be no more free elections. And in a sense, there are none now. Ross Perot did not form a third party because he's interested in getting someone elected to the presidency who he thinks would make a better president than Bill Clinton. He formed his third party to intentionally split the conservative vote to make sure that the New World Order comes into being. You're going to see a tremendous propaganda attack upon patriots and upon people who belong to militias in this country over the next year. It will be relentless. And unless we are able to counteract that propaganda attack with the truth and with publications and with media events of our own, it will be devastating. Already, successful attempts have been made to infiltrate militia units by those who oppose liberty, so that they can stage events or influence events within those militia units that will cause people to do things that they should not do, that will cause the American people to come against them. The Second Continental Army of the Republic has already mounted a campaign to identify anyone within its ranks, in any of its units or organizations, who attempt or have attempted in any manner to display or influence the behavior of others to cause anything to happen within any of our units which would cause public embarrassment or the public to come against us in any way. And this is going to cause some people who are true patriots and who really do care about liberty, but who are reactionary in their behavior and extreme in their behavior, to be discharged within the next several weeks without fail. Now, there's only one way to survive this, unless you really truly want to be a slave in the world order that they have planned and lose all of your liberties. There are things that you must begin to do now. One, you must disassociate yourself with anyone who is racist in their beliefs or in their actions whatsoever. I don't care. This you must do. Anyone who is reactionary or tends to go off the deep end with every little rumor they hear, you must disassociate yourselves with immediately. They must be discharged from any militia unit to which they belong, and that must be made publicly known so that if they are caught doing anything stupid within the near future, it cannot be pinned upon the militia. You must begin media campaigns in your communities, in your cities, in your counties, and in your states. And you must be successful with these campaigns to promote the principles and ideals and the beliefs in liberty, which has produced the ultimate achievement of all humankind. And you must educate the public as to what you are about, who you are, and why you are. You must begin to influence the public belief that the militia is a radical, bad organization. And you must do this by starting to publish newsletters in your communities, in your cities, in your states, in your counties. You must appoint people within your commands to be public relations officers. And these people must get stories published in the newspapers, in the local papers, in the shopping papers, on local radio, and on television, about your militia unit and who you are and what you're about and why you're doing it. You must make sure that no one speaks for your organization or your militia unit or your group of patriots unless what they are going to say has been completely thought out, can be presented by someone who is articulate and intelligent, and has the authority of the leadership of the group to do so, and only that person must do it. if anyone else is approached by the media under any circumstances, they must say, I am extremely happy that you're interested in an organization. Let me take you to the person that you need to speak to. If you do not own a firearm, you must purchase one, and you must become proficient with the use of that firearm. You must join and support a militia unit unless you are one of these reactionary idiots who cannot keep your mouth shut, cannot stop yourself from spreading rumors, are reacting ridiculously, are in an extreme manner to every rumor that floats down the pike. And 99.9% of everything that is spoken or passed through militia or patriot groups is absolute 100% bullshit rumor. And you must always bear in mind, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks or believes, because this is the absolute truth. However America goes, so goes the world. If we give away our liberties, if we give away what humanity has spent the entire history of the world bringing into being, the rest of the world will lose it also. You see, freedom hinges upon the ability of the American people to maintain their freedom and their liberty. You must oppose the flying of the United Nations flag from any flagpole in this nation, and once it's hoisted, it must be brought down and burned. Until they can bring out into public debate what their plans are and be honest about it and stop their lying and deceiving and manipulating, and allow the American people and the people of the world to have a hand in deciding what is going to be the future, then we must oppose whatever they are trying to do. When they become honest and stop lying and deceiving, then we must take part in whatever is happening and affect the political outcome so that we can all live with it and be happy, and we must be prepared to compromise, because not everything that they are trying to do is wrong or bad. Not everything about the environmental movement is a lie. Not everything about the need for population control is a lie. You'd better understand that. Now, I wasn't supposed to do a broadcast, and I wasn't supposed to talk this long, and I can already feel the effect upon my vocal cords and my throat. And I am far from being well, so I don't know if I will appear live tomorrow night or whether you will hear a rerun. But this being the first day of the year, I thought that things should be put into perspective now. And I want you all to sit down and think about what you've heard tonight. And don't react with your emotions or your emotional belief system. Sit down and examine it from a point of reality and truth. And when you've done that, sit down and figure out what you're going to do about it and what your level of participation is going to be. Only a fool would be against creating a peaceful world for all of us to live in. And only a fool would promote a world in which we go backwards in our evolution, back into slavery, from which we have taken so many thousands of years to emerge. We must find a comfortable level that we can all accept that will accomplish what needs to be accomplished for the future for all of us. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year. And God bless you all.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again, with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her to today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart.